listening to The Jenny McCarthy Show on SiriusXM Stars.
It's going to be great.
Welcome back to The Jenny McCarthy Show. I'm Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg. Like I said, one of my favorites, Tom Gagliano. Welcome back to my show.
Hi, Jenny. How you doing?
Good. Happy holidays to you.
To you, too.
Author, life coach, Tom Gagliano. I can't speak today, Gagliano. He's back to talk about, all the things that have to do with, like, holidays, your relatives, your family. He covers everything, but since it's the holidays, we can talk about that. But whatever's bothering you guys, he's the guy to go to. He's got books called The Problem Was Me. It's also a podcast that's amazing. People can find that on iTunes.
Yes, in the search bar, put in The Problem Was Me, and it'll pop up. I talk about addictions, intimacy with couples, parenting, you name it, I got it.
And again, you speak so down to earth.
You don't
use big words. I don't understand. It's just like you're just a real dude, and you make everyone feel comfortable. The other book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, which I just love so much. And there's not a better saying for that. Honestly, there just isn't. One of the first things that Donnie and I did when we got married was start couples therapy. Why do people hesitate to go?
People don't like to question themselves, their parents, and they don't like to deal with uncomfortability. They don't like that. You know, when you go to therapy, it's not fun, right? You got to deal with uncomfortable conversations, maybe conflict. And we're a nation that would rather avoid that, like make it go away. Why do I have to do that? You know, we have fear. We're going to find things out we don't want to know. Or false pride. Why do I got to do this? I'm good to go. And these are the two things that stop people from really looking at themselves. But it is so important, I believe, to get a little help before you have problems so you know how to deal with the problems.
That's exactly why I had us go. And Donnie, you know, he was big in therapy before I met him too. So I was
great.
He's open to it. And the thing is that people need to realize is you go in and before everything's, you know, turned to shit, and you can come to an agreement on tools.
Mm-hmm.
Tools if something comes up, how mm-hmm. you will deal with it.
Right.
And then you have an agreement. Okay, if you're the one that shuts down, and you're the one that wants to talk right away, let's find an agreement as that you both agree with that will make you both feel comfortable enough to move the issue forward.
Absolutely. You know, think about it. What do we know of intimacy walking into a marriage or a relationship? We know what we saw our parents do because they're really the models most of the time, or our caregivers. So we know how to do it like they do it or the complete opposite way they do it. Like I came from a lot of yelling, screaming and pounding as a kid. So when I got into the relationships with my wife, the best thing for me was to shut down, not say a word. Why make trouble? Only the problem with that is if I'm not talking about my feelings, and this is why you need to go to couples therapy, I believe, because when you're not talking about your feelings, eventually you become a victim to your partner. And all of a sudden, we're not having conversations. All of a sudden, I go towards destructive entitlements because I feel like, well, nobody cares. Nobody knows about me. And that's how you sabotage relationships. It doesn't happen in the beginning, but it will happen in time.
Oh, yeah. That resentment builds in.
Yep.
We talked about taking stuff from your past relationships and bringing it into your current ones.
Yep, yep.
But why is it so difficult for us to see our parents' relationship as affecting ours? Why don't people want to make that connection?
One of the biggest issues I have with clients coming in is they think that if they say something negative about their parents, they're a bad little girl or a bad little boy. I should never think negatively about my parents. I should never. Now, you know, when I wrote my book, the Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, this isn't about bashing parents. This is about taking those positive messages they gave us, but recognizing which messages might be sabotaging our happiness, our intimacy, our parenting skills, the careers we choose, the people we choose. All of those things are affected by the early childhood messages. Every one of those things. And if we're not aware of that, with awareness, I don't know what actions to take. And if you go to counseling, the one thing you gain is self-awareness. Now I know what makes me happy. I know how to communicate that to you. I know how to validate and acknowledge your feelings. I may not agree with you, but I want to let you know that I hear you. And if I got to put boundaries down, I will, because I'm not going to get yelled at over here. We'll talk about this later, but I'm not sitting here and getting yelled at. All of these rules of engagement are very hard to find out and to realize without going to a professional that allows this new information into your thinking.
Love that. 888-94 stars, you guys, if you want to call in and ask Thomas a question. You know, some people, you know, see their parents and not see their parents, raised by their parents, and then they want to do the complete opposite that mm-hmm. their parents did. Mm-hmm. Is that possible, or do you still wind up falling in line with a certain issue nonetheless? Like, let's just say your parents didn't spoil you, so you wind up spoiling your kids.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be some issues because you're not necessarily doing it the right way.
No, if you go too far the other way, it's just as bad. And many parents that come to me who came from very disciplined childhoods become too permissive. Many parents that come to me that came from very permissive childhoods become too disciplined, where they're choking the kid. The kid can't walk out the door without them absolutely being on top of the kid. So again, it's important to allow new information into your thinking and processing that thinking. So like I said before, you better know, you're more aware of what you like, what you don't like. The first thing I tell parents all the time is that if you're trying to control your kids' behaviors all the time, it's not going to work. What we want to do as parents is give our kids the tools to control their own behaviors so they make the right decisions on their own because they want to, not because they're forced to. Because eventually those kids are going to get out in the world and they're going to do what they want to do, not what you tell them to do, what they want to do. So we want to create children that want to take healthy actions, build that self-esteem, build that integrity when they get out there in the world so that they feel that they could face the world without needing their parents to come in and save them.
Exactly. 888-94-STARS. We have a caller. Christy is on the line. Hey, Christy, welcome to the show. You have a question for Thomas?
Yes, I do. First of all, hey, Jenny.
Hey, girl.
My question is, how do you please everybody during the holidays with family when they don't really ever, they don't get along?
Christy?
Hello?
Yeah. Christy, you there? Who is the most, what's the most important relationship in your life? Who is that?
Family. Trying to get family to get along is like, there's people in my family that can't get along with each other or have issues getting along with each other. And around the holidays, trying to make everybody happy when you're getting together for birthdays or Christmas or, you know, whatever, having them in the same room and you can feel the tension between the two of them.
And the important relationship in your life, Christy, is the one you have with yourself. You have to make sure that you're happy first, because if you're trying to fix everybody, man, that's a tough problem. Or you're trying to make everyone happy, that's a tough problem. And many of us grow up in this caretaking or people-pleasing role where you have to make other people happy first. So I would suggest, think about what makes Christy happy. Think about what brings you enjoyment and use the people around you that you can talk to help bring that enjoyment into your life, and leave those alone that are going to judge you or are going to make you the fixer and caretaker in the family. So try to be happy with Christy and work, you know, think about what makes you happy, because you're the important relationship in your life.
Yes.
That's for damn sure. It's all about you and what you want. And if anybody has a problem with it, it's their problem.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Christy, for calling. 888-94 stars. What is a time traveling process?
Time traveling is when somebody says something in your life. It could be your husband. It could be your parents. It could be somebody you work for that triggers something in your past, that triggers something that brings you back. And all of a sudden, you may not be hearing what they're saying. You have a distorted way of hearing because you're hearing from the past. For instance, let me give you an example. Some of us grew up in very critical childhoods where we were always told what we were doing wrong. Now, we may be in a relationship with our significant other that they tell us something from their heart that they want to help us, constructive criticism, but we may not hear it it that way. We may hear it like we're a defective wife, we're a defective partner, a defective child, and we may not hear it what they say. So I tell people all the time, what people say may not be what you hear, and vice versa. So sometimes repeating back what you hear is a good way to process.
Am I
really hearing what you're saying? And that's the time traveling process. It just creates that distortion in our listening filters because it triggers something in our past. Somebody says something in our past that triggers our ability to hear it clearly.
Oh my God, it's so true. There's so many times where I'm like, how did you possibly hear that? Like, it's so smart. Let's go to another caller, 888-94-STARS. We got Nushi about couples therapy. Hey there, Nushi.
Hi. I'm a huge fan, first-time caller.
Yay!
I have a history of depression. I'm codependent. I'm super conscious of all my shit, and I don't want to put it in my kids' diapers. So I go to therapy.
I'm
seeing a psychiatrist. I go every single week. So, I have an amazing husband. We've been together almost 10 years. But he doesn't believe in any of this stuff. And I think we really need to go to therapy. My therapist does it. But I'm just petrified to bring it up to him. And the couple times I have brought it up to him, he's like, oh, you know, we're fine. Or he'll, if we get in a fight, he'll adjust himself to appease me and then kind of sweep it all under the rug. So my question is, how do I get him to go? What is the conversation you have to get a guy to understand how important this is?
It's hard to get somebody to do something they don't want to do. Many people need to do things, but they don't do it until they want to do it. I applaud you for getting help. I mean that. That's very courageous,
sure.
And that's amazing and good for you. The piece of getting him, he's got to want to do it. And usually people want to do something when they're afraid of losing something they have or not getting something they want. So the best thing, I'm not trying to solicit my stuff, but if you listen to one of my podcasts on why couples should go to counseling before there's a problem, he may hear it differently coming from somebody else's voice rather than yours. The best thing to do is to say how you feel. You know, I feel that our relationship would be much closer and it means a lot to me. And if I mean a lot to you, as you're saying, your husband sounds like a good person, it means a lot to me. If we go to therapy, can you go for me? Maybe you can try and get him to do it, not because he really thinks it's going to help, but maybe he'll do it because it means a lot to you. And that would be the approach I would take, because he sounds like he's a good guy. And it sounds like he just might have some fear about that. Like I said, therapy, it's not easy. It's got great rewards, but you got to talk about uncomfortable things. It's the way it is. So that's how I would approach it. It means a lot to you. And if it means a lot to you, would you go to therapy for me?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I did too in the past to get someone to go, this might be called manipulation, but I told my therapist, I said, you know what, I really want to get so-and-so in here. If I do, can you just really go easy on him so that he comes back? And it worked and, you know, wound up going at least 20 times before I realized I needed to leave him. But in any case, it kind of, you know, it broke the, you know, the cherry, if you will, and he realized, okay, it's not as scary as it seemed. And then slowly worked his way into, you know, opening up and letting go. So I'm sure that's not the right thing to say, but it worked for me.
Hey, Jenny, you got him there. You know, I have people come to me that walk out the door feeling great. Now, they didn't walk in feeling great because they have all this stuff packed inside of them and they don't know how to let it out. But as I start to work a little of what I do with them and I start to make it safe that they could talk about their feelings and get validated, they walk out a lot happier than they walk in. So whatever it takes to get them in there, I'm with you, Jenny.
Totally. Thanks so much, Nushi, for calling in, and I'm proud of you for doing it for yourself. Alicia.
Absolutely.
Alicia on line 3. Hey, Alicia, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jenny. I'm a huge fan of yours. You have a great show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
I have a question for Tom. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and she likes to mimic, like, everything that I do, like the way I wear my hair, the way I dress. I'm just wondering if this normal or not. Like, everything to the T, like she likes to do, like what I do.
How do you feel about when she does that? What comes up for you?
Well, I think it's okay, only because, you know, I kind of think I'm a good person and I want her to be like me, kind of.
It sounds like it bothers you a little bit. I'm just guessing at that. And sometimes sarcasm is anger. And I would sit down and I would say to her, when you do blank, this is how I feel. Be true to yourself. Tell her how you really feel. If it bothers you, say, I feel embarrassed. I feel, you know, I think you have to have a little bit of a heart-to-heart conversation with her. And when she tells you her feelings, even if you don't agree with it, validate and acknowledge her feelings. Say, I hear you.
No, I mean, like, what I wear, like, she'll wear the same thing. Or if I, like, I play tennis and golf, so she loves tennis and golf.
Oh, like, she's modeling. You mean so?
She's modeling.
Modeling. I probably used the wrong word.
So okay. That sounds different.
Sounds good.
From what I heard, that sounds good. I'm just wondering, why you brought it up? I just sense that there's something that's bothering you about this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm sensing there's something.
Well, I just want to make sure it's normal. I mean, I'm. She's getting to her teenage years, and I just, you know, worry about teenage years. She's 12 going on 13. I just want to make sure it's normal.
So I would, when a parent says, I want to make sure, I say there's a story going on inside of your head that could be true, it could be false. And I would suggest be curious with her. Ask her curious questions. Hey, what's going on with you? You know, I like you wear what I wear. You know, that's really cool. Just be curious. Keep conversations open. Keep talking to her. Don't talk at her. Talk to her. Ask her a lot of questions. Be curious. Some people think, oh, I don't want to be a friend to my kid. I'm not saying be a friend. You make the rules and you have the consequences when they don't abide by the rules you make. But I think being curious with her will help you understand if some of the stories you're making up is true or not true. Have conversations. Talk to her more about how she's feeling and stuff.
Plus, I think she's 12, right. And I say in 2 more years, she's going to want nothing to do with you. So enjoy those few years of her modeling you, because right. I swear to God, there's a switch that turns.
Right.
And I wanted to be like my mom. My mom was like Mother Teresa. I did everything like my mom. Turned 14, and I was like, you're gross. So
maybe enjoy it. Right, right. Yeah, that's true. I know. She still believes in Santa Claus, and, you know, she's very, like, immature for her age, but she's just starting to get into her own, like, her body's developing, and, you know, she's kind of going through all that. So she's kind of, like, really, like, kiddish, but her body's maturing.
Well, autonomy takes a while, doesn't it, a little bit, for each person? I think each kid, like, you know, and thank God you're a good role model.
Yep.
Thank God you're not at the bars and she's imitating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would just, if you have thoughts about why she's thinking or acting the way she is, just be curious with her. Have conversations with her. I think that really brings parents and kids together to be curious.
It's so true.
Keep asking questions.
Questions are awesome. Thank you so much. Good luck to you, sweetie. We got to take a break. God, that went by so fast. I hated that. Really? It's already? God, Thomas. This is why you guys need to listen to his podcast. The Problem Was Me. It's such a great one. It's on iTunes. You guys can also pick up the book, The Problem Was Me. Don't put your crap in your kid's diaper. He is amazing. ThomasGagliano.com also. Thank you so much for coming back and helping us today, Thomas.
Thank you, Jenny. Thanks for having me as always.
Of course. Check out his stuff, guys. We'll be right back.